Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I am Soumya, moderator for the conference call. Welcome to India Glycols Limited Q4 and FY24 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touchtone telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand over the floor to Mr. Rohit Sinha. Thank you and over to you.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining on India Glycols Limited Q4 and FY24 results conference call. We are joined on this call with India Glycols management, represented by Mr. Rupak Saraswat, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Anand Singhal, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Rajesh Malwa, Head Sales and Marketing, Bio-based Specialty Chemical Division, Mr. S.K. Shukla, Head Liquor Business, and Mr. Ankur Jain, Head Legal and Company Secretary. I would like to invite Mr. Rupak Saraswat to initiate this proceeding with his opening remarks, post which we will have a question and answer session. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Rohit. A very good afternoon to everybody who has joined on this hot summer afternoon, particularly from a Delhi perspective. But before we start, I just want to make sure people are able to hear us clearly, because we could hardly hear Rohit clearly. Can somebody check with some people who have joined? Because otherwise I'll go on. They are anyway on mute. So I'll go on for 15 minutes and then we'll not know whether people heard anything. There's no feedback mechanism, no? Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. We can hear you, sir.
I just want to make sure, because Rohit's voice was clearly not audible. It was very woolly, so he couldn't figure out what he's saying. I just want to make sure people who are attending the call are able to hear us, because they'll not be able to give us the feedback if they're not able to hear us.
Yes, sir. Your voice is so clear, sir. I'll just unmute a participant. You can get the feedback.
You can just check with them, yeah.
Sure, sir. I've unmuted Ashish Sharma, sir.
So, can you hear us? I was not sure.
Yes,
just wanted to make sure.
I can clearly hear you. Before this, we couldn't hear the word, but you are clearly audible.
Yeah. So, good if you are able to hear us. Unfortunately, we are not able to hear you very clearly. Anyway, I'll go ahead then, and hopefully during question and answers, we'll be better off. Okay. So, once again, a very good afternoon to everybody who has joined. Thank you, Rohit. And I am joined here by my colleagues who Rohit has already introduced. I'll take this opportunity to give you some overview comments on the performance for this quarter as well as the year. And then subsequently, we can take your questions. So as you have seen, we've had a good year overall and a good quarter as well. So if you look at the numbers in gross revenue terms, we have clocked a growth of 19% at 7,922 crores. In terms of net revenue, our net revenue is up 24% at 3,294 crores for FY24. And in terms of EBITDA, that is about 428 crores, up 34%. And a PAT, which is 173 crores, up 23% for the full year. So overall, there is a good performance both in terms of revenue and profitability. Particularly, it has been led by both top line and bottom line performance by the BHPC segment, which is essentially chemicals and biofuels, as well as portable spirits, and a particularly good start as we added capacities for biofuels in the biofuel segment. As we have spoken over the last one and a half years, it is in line with what we had anticipated after putting up grain-based capacities for ethanol, which has allowed us to do a risk mitigation as far as ethanol supply and costs are concerned. And now the situation is that we are importing significant quantities of ethanol for our chemical intermediates production, and which has meant that the capacities that we have put up is now available to therefore contribute to the biofuels revenue as well as contribution. For the quarterly performance, the gross revenue at 2039 is up 26%. The net revenue at 926 crores is up 50%, and EBITDA at 109 crores is up 9%, and PAT at 42 crores is up 6%. So we can see that there is a strong performance overall, both in terms of gross and net revenue. Particularly, the top line growth has been driven by portable spirits. It has been relatively modest in the chemical segment for this quarter. And in terms of, you know, high level highlights for the company, you see a revenue growth of 24%, EBITDA up 34%, and a healthy EBITDA margin of 12.9%, which is better than before. As you know, we've had a couple of tough years, and as we have kind of anticipated and also taken actions for, this has led to improvement. So in terms of our, I already spoke about grain-based capacities and the new biofuels portfolio helping us both top line and bottom line. In portable spirit, sales were driven mainly by increases in country liquor sales, with both good performance in Uttarakhand and UP, where we are close to our market leaders, particularly Uttarakhand. And in IMFL, most of the growth has come from our new market, which is Delhi and the paramilitary segment, and we will talk about it more later on. As you know, our key feedstock is ethanol for multiple businesses. The cost pressures on ethanol to some extent have continued with high international ethanol prices, although they are not as high as they were earlier when we spoke about, say, 1.5 years ago. And what has also happened is that in the biofuel segment, there has been some volatility with respect to costs of grain and sales price of DDGS, which has meant that there have been periods in between where the margins of grain-based ethanol being sold as biofuels have been a little soft. In Nature Biopharma, a relatively smaller segment for us, has registered a growth of 7%. However, here we've seen margin pressure in particular due to a challenging market, price erosion in nicotine and API segment. Having said that, I think the strategy is on track. We are focusing on raw material risk mitigation and building a pipeline of value-added products. We've also been talking about new value-added products. And I am happy to share that there is a steady and a good start to commercialization of projects in the new value-added pipeline. In fact, we are expecting the plant to be fully commissioned in about a quarter's time, though we've started significant production already. We are anticipating that the capacities that we have put up, even though they are not very large to start with, and that was part of a strategy to have a modular approach, we are expecting that those, by and large, taking a little bit here and there, will at least in some sections get fully occupied in the current financial year, and we may be talking about incremental expansions to take the value-added chemicals portfolio ahead. Joint venture with Clariant, as you know, we have a joint venture wherein we are putting a specialty chemicals business a couple of years back. IGL having 49% of the share, so that reflects on our overall profit performance. There has been a strong recovery in margins in joint venture performance, mainly driven by reduction of material costs. As you know, we've spoken earlier, one of the key factors which affects, amongst others, the joint venture performance is the cost of ethylene oxide, which IGL supplies to the joint venture. And for the factors that I've discussed, which is energy cost increases, which have moderated, which have come down, for ethanol costs, which have come down, which have moderated, plus the fact that we have put up our own grain-based ethanol capacity, has meant that the price difference or the cost difference between crude-based ethanol in the market and ours has come down, though the delta is still there, and therefore the relative competitiveness of the JV is better. So Q4, for example, for the joint venture showed revenues going up 3% and EBITDA, though on a smaller base for the constraints that we said, getting up by 68%. And for the full year, there has been some recovery. We had lost sales, so now the full year in terms of top line looks flat and there's a modest EBITDA increase of about 4%. So which is good news from the perspective of the joint venture as well. Yeah, and I think we will talk about it later. A final dividend of Rs. 8 per equity share has been declared. We are utilizing our grain-based ethanol capacities nearly fully to what we have right now to service the contracts that we have with oil marketing companies, and that looks steady. But before I move on to a segment-wise commentary, what I'll do is I'll request my colleague Anand to give you a quick update on the financial summary.
Good afternoon. For the current quarter, I will take the results on consolidated basis. In the current quarter, the gross sale is 2,039 crores. Vis-a-vis 1,615 crores in the last year corresponding quarter, showing an increase of say about 26%. The net sale is 926 crores vis-a-vis 619 crores, showing almost about 50% improvement in the net sale in the current quarter. The EBITDA is 109 crores vis-a-vis 100 crores in the last corresponding quarter, showing 8 or 9% increase. While PBT is 55.6 crores against 45.64 crores, showing an increase of 21.8%. The profit after tax is 42 crores against 39.84 crores, showing 5.9% growth. The reason for this is due to the higher provision of the income tax. The EPS in the current quarter is 13.63 rupees vis-a-vis 12.87 rupees in the last year corresponding quarter. To take up the yearly results for the year 31st March 24, its gross sale is 7,922 crores vis-a-vis 6,641 crores, showing an increase of about 19%. The net sales is 3,294 crores vis-a-vis 2,651 crores, showing an increase of 24.26%. EBITDA is 428 crores vis-a-vis 319 crores, showing an increase of 34%. PBT is 223 crores vis-a-vis 165, showing a 35% increase. And PAT is 173 crores vis-a-vis 141 crores, showing an increase of about 23%. The EPS for the current year is 55.87 rupees vis-a-vis 45.55 in the last year. I'll say as far as the operation is concerned, this year is the best year in the history of the company as far as the sales and the profitability is concerned.
Thank you, Anandi. I have broadly talked about segments, but I'll give you slightly more detail, keeping it somewhat short. So if you look at the quarterly and annual performance for our three broad sectors, the largest one being chemicals and biofuels, or which we call bio-based specialties and performance chemicals, and consciously also saying biofuels because that is a significant chunk of the chemicals business. So in terms of the BHPC segment for the quarter, we've had 623 crore revenue for the quarter, up 60%, and EBIT of 47 crore, which is up close to 12%. And for the full year, at 2,141 crores, the revenue is up 25% and EBIT is up 35% at 168 odd crores. Potable spirits has had a good year. But and before I talk about potable spirits, let me give some additional comments on chemicals. I think in the chemicals business, a significant top line contribution has come from the biofuels business. It's a steady business with not so exciting percentage margins. So in that sense, it is something which is kind of adding significant to our top line and reasonably to our bottom line as well. At an overall strategic level, we see that we are on track in terms of what we are doing in the chemical space. We are leveraging our sustainability credentials much better. We expect that the year will be better for several of the key segments within chemicals. We expect it to have better traction as far as glycols are concerned. We expect an overall better year as far as biofuels are concerned, because several of these capacities have actually come up this year, and you'll see full utilization of capacities in the current year. And we expect that there will be a good addition of value-added products in terms of how it form in the current financial year. So that is as far as BSPC is concerned. In the portable spirit space, we've had a good quarter in terms of revenue at 247 odd crores, which is up 32% compared to the same quarter of last year, and EBIT of 40 crores, up 37% compared to the same quarter of last year. And for the full year, we registered a revenue of 947 crores, up 25%, and an EBIT of 164 crores, up 61%, which is a very good performance. And it has primarily, as I said, been led by growth in two new areas, which is in the IMFL space, which is Delhi and paramilitary as a new segment for us. We've continued our strong performance as far as country liquor is concerned for both our key markets, which is Uttarakhand and Uttar Pradesh. Also, you see a very good improvement in profitability, both on account of cost action as well as pricing actions, which are not so much dependent only on what IDIL decides, but it's a factor of getting those approved through the government as well. So it has been all in all a very good year for portable spirits. For Nature Biopharma, as I said, a relatively smaller segment for us, it has been a good year as far as top line is concerned. Particularly the quarter has been good at around 56 crores of turnover, up 28%. And for the whole year, the full year turnover at 205 crores is good. It has crossed 200 crores, if I am not wrong, Manish, for the first time for the year.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So that is good from a top line perspective. But we faced, as I mentioned earlier, some pressures on pricing because the market for nicotine and APIs has been quite competitive. And a broad strategy to look at taking costing actions and, more importantly, build the value-added pipelines is on track. So, that's how we see that we will continue to take care of the business and grow it both in terms of top line as well as bottom line. So those are my high-level comments as well as far as the various sectors are concerned. And I will take a pause now, and then we can take some questions.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star and 1 on your telephone keypad and wait for your turn to ask the question. If you would like to withdraw your request, you may do so by pressing star and 1 again. Our first question comes from Shubh Jain from Emerge Capital. Please go ahead. So please go ahead with your question, sir. There is no response from Shubh's line. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any questions, please press star and 1 on your telephone keypad. We will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our next question comes from Bala Subramaniam from Arihant Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Congratulations for a good set of numbers. And, sir, we have seen significant... I'm audible?
Yeah.
You are audible, sir.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Sir, we have seen significant margin improvement on year basis from like 11% to 12% kind of thing, especially it comes from chemicals and portable spirit segments. So we can able to go back to, like, if you look at 2018-19, that time. So we have seen margin of higher digit rates and for this chemical side. It's around more than 9% kind of margins we did it. And portable spirits also, once upon a time, we did it around more than 20% kind of margins. So we can able to do those range in next over 2 to 3 years. And in Nature Biopharma side also, like earlier we did about 20% kind of margins, but right now it's came down below 20%. So what kind of realizations we have on that in Nature Biopharma and especially in the agriculture and nicotine side? You could share more details on the margin side.
Yeah, I will ask my colleagues to comment on particularly in Nature Biopharma. But if you look at overall margin over the last several years. Over the last couple of years, I remember our EBITDA margin actually going up. Yes, it came down from close to 12% to 9.6%. Then it went up to 11.9%, and this year we are looking at a 12.9%. So over the last few years, I can say that while the margins, yes, we expect, we want them to better, and we would also like them to better. But if you look at the last 3 or 4 years, at an overall level, the margins have seen steady improvement, and I expect that at an overall level, this trend will continue. We've had last couple of years of significant pressure, as I mentioned, some of the cost pressures continue. But we are taking a few set of actions, and I'll comment on both chemicals as well as NHFI or biopharma at a very high level. I mentioned to you that some of the actions that we are taking are on the cost front, which includes operational costs, efficiencies, energy, etc. And we have a pipeline of actions which we'll continue to take next year as well. The other key thing for us is to, some things are not always entirely in our control, in the sense that, as you saw, freight, energy, and feedstock prices for us really went through the roof over the last couple of years. That has adjusted to some extent, but not entirely. Strategically, we feel that our strategy in terms of building on our sustainability credentials, working on newer, greener technology is perfectly all right. And to some extent, it is also helping us recover the margins. As I mentioned, the other key action, apart from managing the bottom line, is to enrich our product mix based on more value-added products. And I can say, as I mentioned, that we, creating specialty chemicals businesses takes time because it needs a significant amount of R&D effort, formulation effort, application development effort. And the collaborations also take, sometimes the collaboration with the company, even though the volumes are not that large, can take a couple of years for a product to materialize. I can only say that we are taking those actions. Those are on the right track. And as you can see, and you will continue to see over the next quarter, our progress on the value-added product is steady. So that's the broad strategy. We understand. I think you are also probably talking about years, which is more than 2.5 years ago, when we were comparing the business slightly differently, because the entire specialty chemicals business was also part of the Ideal portfolio, which is now part of the joint venture. I must accept that as a percentage in the entire chemicals portfolio, the margin percentage is of the specialty chemicals business, or the then specialty chemicals business, was higher, and we were also operating on better times. Let me give you a little bit of context. If you heard some of my calls earlier, I used to say that, we faced a time where for a long period of time, landed ethanol imported price cost to us was close to 35 rupees a liter. It went up to as high as 70 rupees a liter. So we were also talking about those times. Ethanol costs have come down. They have come down, but they have not come down to those earlier levels. So those pressures are there, but I also talked about the strategy to build it. Now, as far as NHL Biopharma is concerned, I told you about the price pressures and again the focus on building a pipeline, but I'll request my colleague Manish to give you some more comments.
Yeah, so Bala, basically as Rupert said regarding this new value added production that we are thinking upon in the pipeline, and the prices are under stress because of this. The margin has become low in the nicotine area, and the USP products have been reduced. So these two products are our bread and butter till now, but now we have envisaged into the new product line in the like branded nutraceuticals, and we have certain leads in the USA and Europe. Hopefully this year turnover would be at least increased by 25%, and the margin would be much better than this year.
Got it, sir. So on the realizations, like last quarter you have mentioned the glycosylated 4.2 lakh per kg and nicotine 7,000 per kg. What are those in current level on the price point side?
So currently the nicotine is low as around I have to check the current prices. I will get it to you separately.
Fine, sir. Sir, on the power cost side, it's continuously like coming down in terms of sales right now in this quarter, 7.8% of sales. So we have seen significant improvement on the power cost side. And so we have signed agreement with Renew Green to procure captive wind and solar hybrid power. So it is expected in this year, which quarter it is expected to be, supply is expected. And whether this trend will continue or how do we see in coming quarters?
If you've read some of our updates that we've given, we've already given an update that there has been a delay as far as Renew is concerned, and the delay has been explained on account of change of certain regulations or court directions, based on which there are certain challenges. Which is what Renew have told us in terms of the current structure of group captive. Now, what this means is that we are in discussions with Renew to look at it again, which means that we are not in a position to give a timeline on when we will be able to realize those benefits. However, we are continuing to pursue not only Renew, but also in discussion with other companies as to how we can look at not only low cost power but green power, but secure green power for our operations. Having said that, I may also add, which may be of interest, we've not spent any money as far as Renew is concerned so far, especially after we've come to know that there are some challenges. So we are in discussion with Renew and also some other people who can potentially supply us green and cost effective power.
Got it, sir. So on the NFU side, most commission is expected in Q2. So what kind of volumes we can expect in coming months? Like earlier, we mentioned around 150 metric tons, whether we can able to 200 or 300 in that range.
Yes. So look, this is a plant with multiple capabilities and multiple reactors. So a significant portion of the plant has already been commissioned. Okay, but we have said that complete commissioning will happen when it happens, which is Q2, etc. Now, as far as the volumes are concerned, I am cautious that I am not going to give projections for the business, but I think in a few months, we expect our monthly volumes to, to cross 400 to 500 tons per month.
Sir, ethanol, the supply is started for this 1,164 crore order from oil companies. Because the contract time period is November 23 to October 24, we have started the supply and when the revenue recognition will happen, whether we can expect in this year?
So, I would first like to slightly correct you. We call it allocation and not a contract, in the sense that this is the allocated quantity based on what the oil companies are able to blend, they pick up the material. Having said that, I think by and large, with a little bit here and there, we are in line with supplying what is the allocation given to us. I don't remember the monthly number. We can get back to you to send us, separately. But I think by and large, we are in line with it. So to some extent, we've already started clocking the revenue. And we expect that the revenue will go up a little bit as we start to cater to the allocations that they have been allotted to us.
Thank you, sir. I'll come back in queue for further questions.
Thank you. You still have further questions, is it? Thank you. Anyway, that was all I'd like to know.
Yeah, okay. Sir. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Our next question comes from Vedant Gulhani from Podar Diamonds. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
You are audible, sir.
Yeah. Actually, my question has been answered, so sorry for that.
Our next question comes from Manish Sitana, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, my question is regarding the country liquor space and with the new excise policy being announced by the government of Uttarakhand. So how do the company, foresee that impacting our top line and bottom line in terms of the margin as well as the sales figure? Yes.
As far as country liquor policy in Uttarakhand is concerned, it is quite favorable. because of two reasons. One is we have got a higher selling price, we call it ex-distillery price, which everybody has got because it is as per the slab. Now the second thing, which because of the foresight of our top management, we have been very quickly been able to install a Tetra machine. This is the first time in Uttarakhand, because I'll give you a small background. Because of the changes, plastic was not allowed in Uttarakhand for so many years, for ever since Uttarakhand was formed. But now, as a policy change, from 1st April, Uttarakhand Excise has seen reason for them to bring Tetra Pak for country liquor as well as IMFL. And as our CEO rightly said, we are leaders in country liquor as far as Uttarakhand is concerned. Now, we have been able to quickly garner all the resources, and we are the only supplier of Tetra machine in the Tetra Pak in Uttarakhand. Now, so much so that we are following a steady build approach. We can dump a lot of Tetra into the market, but we want both the bottle as well as Tetra Pak to coexist. The margins in Tetra Pak naturally are higher because there is no glass bottle, there is no cap, there is no label. It is only a smart pack, if I may say that. So we will have this, we will be able to harness the first mover advantage. And as you know, in our various calls, there are only two major players in Uttarakhand. We are there, and another is Radico Khaitan. Radico Khaitan does not have Tetra machine. In foreseeable future, we don't see, because it is highly capital intensive. It is a very sensitive thing. It is not like any other machine. It requires lot of care because for various reasons. Now, the first initial reports of April and May are encouraging, and we have made our very good mark in as far as country liquor in Uttarakhand is concerned. It will not be fair for me to give you a figure, but I can only say we will be able to get most of the country liquor sales, whether in bottle or tetra in Uttarakhand. Secondly, we have also, since the policy allows Tetra Pak for IMFL also, so we have a definite plan to introduce Tetra Pak in IMFL as well. IMFL already we have about more than 25% market share. And the third step we are taking is introduce new premium brands, which is as far as all other states are also concerned. To sum it up, we have two, if I may, sustained competitive advantages. One is we are the only company to have quickly installed Tetra machine and also given the output. Though the consumer acceptance, I cannot make a statement that it is successful, is yet to be ascertained. But the first reports are encouraging. But only over a period of 3 months to 6 months, maybe 1 year, you will be able to make a statement that Tetra will overtake glass bottle. And the second is the price increase, the increase in realization. So these are the two changes of Uttarakhand, country liquor, and IMFL.
So the price increase that you're mentioning would certainly translate into a better margin, I may say so?
Yeah, definitely, yes. Definitely.
Okay. And my second question is, sorry.
Opportunity to discuss much details, but we are very cautious. This is our home state. So we are quite focused.
And my second question is on certain financial aspect, which, you know, we are bifurcating some costs of material consumed and purchase of stock in trade, which was not, you know, that amount in, let's say, March quarter of the last year. But so what is the difference between the cost of material consumed and the purchase of stock in trade, and why are we, you know, showing them separately?
Why we are not showing them separately?
why are we showing, and what is the difference between the material consumed and the purchase of stock in trade? What is the difference? I want to understand the difference between the two items.
Stock in trade is basically the stock in trade with line, while the material consumed is basically the material actually consumed by the company for the different products.
So are these materials again of a raw material or or consumables, or what exactly are they?
This is basically the molasses and the alcohol.
You're referring to material consumed or stock in trade? Purchase of stock in trade, I'm asking a line item which in the current quarter was 115
crore. Stock in trade is basically the trading activity which we are doing for some of our products.
Well, I still didn't get you. If it is a trading activity, why is it being shown as an expense? Because corresponding March quarter was 2 crores and this quarter it is 115 crores. So what exactly is the difference? And
This is basically the material which we have sold out on the trading activity. And this figure is basically the balancing figure which I can say has been shown as a stock in trade.
Still not clear. I'll get back to you separately on this. So, thank you.
We'll give you the clarification separately whenever you ask.
No problems. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any questions, please press star and 1 on your telephone keypad. We will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our next question comes from Rohit Nagraj from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity and congrats on good set of numbers. So my first question is on importing ethanol. So you mentioned that you've started importing ethanol. However, recently we have seen that there is again surge in terms of logistic costs. So what is your assessment of the situation in terms of the incremental imports? Whether there will be, again, cost that will go up, and will it have impact on the margins? So just a broader view on the same. Thank you.
Yeah, Rohit, good to hear from you after a long time. How are you?
All well, sir. Thank you.
Rohit, you understand the business quite well. You have followed it up for a long time. And I think, yes, more overall, there is some increase, as I have mentioned. There was softening of imported ethanol prices, which went up, to 47, 48 or thereabouts in terms of the weighted average that comes to us. And then it has gone up a little bit. So there is some increase, but at the same time, given the option that we have for what we produce in-house and sell it for biofuel, it still hugely makes sense to use imported ethanol for making chemicals, and I expect that will continue for the foreseeable future. And foreseeable, as you know, depends on so many things. But I see that will continue. I expect that there will be some volatility, some increases, but overall, I do not expect a significant amount of dent either in terms of our top line or our bottom line. There may be some, but I think compared to what we've seen over the last 2 or 3 years, it is relatively nominal compared to that. Broadly, I don't see our numbers or our top line getting significantly impacted because of that, as of now.
So, got that. So, second question is on potable spirits. So, I think we have been doing geographical expansion. So, where are we currently in terms of reaching beyond the existing geography? And what is the plan in terms of going across different states over the next maybe 2 to 3 years? Thank you.
We have, as our CEO mentioned in the beginning, we have added two new areas of business. One is Delhi. Delhi, we changed the RTM, as we say, route to the market. We were earlier working through the distributor. Now, the company has put focus, and 5, 6, 7 brands are already there in Delhi market. And there has been a phenomenal growth. So there is focus on Delhi market. Plus what has happened is, as far as paramilitary business, paramilitary it consists of BSS, CRPF, ITBP and SSB. So now, what was happening earlier for so many years, all these four formations would give tenders separately. So last year, as luck would have it, it became one tender and we could see it quickly. I am an IMFL person and I understand this fairly well. So we quickly applied for tendering in all five brands. And to our good luck, all our five brands, because of our quality consciousness at Kashipur, where we also co-packed Bacardi for so many years, and we are known for good quality IMFL, our five brands have done very well, and we are among the top sellers to paramilitary. Now, the good news is, again, the tender came a few days ago, and we have been able to add two more brands, and we will be able to take the volumes up. Mind you, this paramilitary is a limited business. It is not CSB. CSB is army, while this is paramilitary forces. There is moratorium in CSB till 30th of June, and we are quite prepared to call, and there are certain restrictions as you know, since you are asking portable IMFL question. There are certain restrictions on quantity achievement before you introduce brands into CSB. We have been able to do so on two of our brands, and that we will apply. Now, as far as, see, it is very easy to increase the geography as far as the IMFL is concerned. But our top management has taken a cautious decision to go steady build, as I said, and also, you know, improvement in margins. So at the moment we have made Delhi successful, paramilitary, and Uttarakhand of course will blossom, if I may use the word, and UP will be steady, which is our second home state. We are at least in the next 6 months or a year, we do not have any plans to add new states. Instead, we have all the plan to introduce premium brands. Because it is very easy to start new states, but the kind of exposure that the working capital requirement is so high and open credit has to be given. So we don't want to lose business money in the business. So what, as a strategy or as a conscious step what we have done, we are not increasing in this year more states. Instead, we are bringing in two more new brands. And I'm glad to inform you, it is already signed and under production. We have tied up with Amrut Distilleries. Amrut Distilleries, as you know, is a world-class single malt company. And they have visited our unit. They know about us because of the Bacardi co-packing. And we have got their brand called McIntosh. Amrut is not a listed company, so you may not be able to have access, but I can. It is underway. Excise approval has been given. We have got the license. So McIntosh whiskey, which is a 35-year-old whiskey of the company, has been. We will be making on royalty or franchisee route. In other words, we will be making all the. We will be investing into working capital and also making all the profit and giving away a certain set of royalty to Amrut. This is the first time Amrut has tied up with another company and in view of our quality standards. So this is one step. Another is we are going to our amazing vodka has been quite popular and successful in the last 3 years. We are wherever we launch, we are among the top three vodkas, whether it is in Delhi, whether it is in UP, whether it is in Uttarakhand or any other state. We are among the top three. We want to sustain and extend this success to another flavor. For obvious reasons, it is not in public domain, so I cannot give more details. But we have these two steps we are taking in IMFL. So we are quite poised.
Sure, sir. Thanks for that elaborate answer. It clarifies a lot of things. Sir, just one last question in terms of investments in pipeline. So what are the current investments across the segments which are currently underway, and what is the plan of capital expenditure for, say, FY25 and FY26? Thank you.
For the current year, there are two major expenses which are going on, Rohit. One is the increase in the capacity in Kashipur from 400 to 500 KLPD, which will be ethanol manufacturing. And for Gorakhpur, we are increasing the capacity from 110 to 280 KLPD. So these are two major capacities, and there may be some expenditure on NSU, because I think there will be some expansion depending upon the market demand. So these three are the major expansions for 24-25. After that, we are not planning for any major capacities in 25-26, except the maintenance capacities, which will be ranging from 40 to 50 crores.
Yeah, just to add there, I think based on how some of our new chemical businesses opportunity is built up, as I mentioned earlier, we may be looking at some incremental capacity, but it is not something that we have formed up right now.
Sure, fair enough. Thanks for answering all the questions and all the best, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We have a follow-up question from Shubh Jain from Emerge Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. A couple of my questions have already been answered. Just one question. Can you please give some color on our debt profile and how we plan to reduce it and over what period of time?
So currently our debt position is about 900 crores, including the EPVD which we have taken about 10 years back. So this year the total repayment is about 350 crores, for which we have already, say, made some prepayment amounting almost about 100 crores. And we are also planning to make some of the prepayment out of the better cash flow. So this is what is the planning. And as far as the new capex is concerned, since we are already through with the new capex, so I don't foresee any major term loan raising from the banks or from the market.
Okay, sir. And so what is our average rate of interest?
It is around 9%.
Okay, sir. Thank you, sir. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Our next question comes from Saket Kapoor from Kapoor & Co. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Namaskar, sir, and thank you for the opportunity. Firstly, Ashish ji, our closing balance, closing net debt level, kya rahega when we will be repaying our debt? What should be the expected long-term loan level for the closing FY 24-25? Yeah.
Saket, it will be around 650 crores or 600, 625, 650 crores.
Okay, so we have closing balance of 725. This will go down to 650. Hello?
Actually, I don't know from which sources you have seen that 725. My debt is around 900 crores as of now.
Okay.
Which will come down to 650. Okay. That 725 is not included the EPVD. I am talking about the amount including EPVD.
Okay,
which is the export advance which we have taken, say, about 9 years back. So the entire EPVD which we paid in the current year, 24-25, which is about $17.8 million, and rest is the rupee loan, so the entire outstanding, say, for the term loan will come down to about 650 crores.
650 crores from the current level. And sir, when we look at the cash flow, we find we have spent around 553 crore for FY 24. So iska breakup kya hai sir? Where has, and for the 2 years that we have spent around 1000 crore.
Actually, this year we have capitalized all our projects which has been completed. That includes NSU, that includes the grain distillery, up to 400 KLPD, and one the boiler. Apart from this, there are some I will say the miscellaneous capexes, and one is the nicotine capex in the Dehradun.
Right.
So major amount is coming from grain, 400 KL, and NSU.
Okay, and for the Gorakhpur part, 180 is still left to be spent. It will be spent for this year.
180 is in pipeline, and this hopefully will be capitalized in the current year after completion.
Right. And sir, can you give me the speed stock also? By now, with the expanded capacity, we will be 500 for Kashipur and 290 or 280 for Gorakhpur. So, what percentage for this we have to depend on the grains, and how much will be the molasses?
This 290 and 500 is totally on grain.
Okay. And these are the rice, broken rice, which we are dependent, sir?
This is all broken rice.
Okay, and yes, sir.
Sorry.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
Sir, didn't get you, sir?
No, yeah, I think you were asking something. There was a lag, so I spoke over you. So I said, go ahead, and then I will respond.
Yes, yes. Sir, is it the broken rice sales from the FCI, that is our feed stock? We are sourcing it from FCI only or from open market?
See, we have from time to time looked at both options. FCI rice is currently not available, so damaged food grain is available depending upon what is the price, what is the availability. We look at both options. There is no hard and fast. And it is also a factor of how the government wants to make FCI rice available or not available, etc. But we've also looked at rice from the private market. And these grain plants subsequently, just to add you, I think the government has a policy to diversify the feedstock for grain that we will use for ethanol. I think going forward, and we are in the process of evaluating, taking trials, etc., I see that significant part of grain may start also coming from corn as a feedstock. Most of these assets with some modifications can be used as corn as well. So as you see, most of the ethanol that is produced in the US is actually corn based. I see that also packing up in the times to come.
So maize and corn are the same?
And then
hello?
Yeah, please.
Sorry, sir, I interpreted you. Maize and corn are the same feedstock.
Yes, maize and corn are the same.
So just to conclude, availability of raw material is not an issue even with the expanded capacity.
Let us put it this way, that the government, if you look at various articles and the policy, is very clear to continue to push to go for 20% blending. Okay? And so far, if you look at the blending program from whenever it was announced, there has been, by and large, give or take, stuck to the percentage increases that they have planned. In between, there have been hiccups where, sometimes the FCI rice availability, etc., has been difficult. And we expect, as we have discussed before, that some of these hiccups will continue from time to time. But if you strategize, if you look at a longer time horizon, I think we see that we will continue to be able to, by and large, utilize our capacities to supply to the oil blending companies, because the government strategy is quite clear. And the government also, when the prices have gone up, for example, if you look at grain prices when they went up, I mentioned earlier that to some extent we saw softening of margin, but the government responding by supporting to some extent by increasing those prices. So we see, by and large, the business for biofuels in the foreseeable future, unless something drastic happens like a drought or something, to continue, and not only to continue, but also to steadily increase in terms of percentages. It is very difficult to have a crystal ball and give an exact, forecast on what exactly will happen, but that's how we see it.
Right, sir. And sir, for the last point for subject to ethanol is, for the allocation of supply, can you give the revenue which we have booked for this financial year and the next balance we know what the contracted value is? So how much have
I don't have the numbers completely ready with me. We've not given a forecast either for the business or segment by segment. As I had mentioned earlier, by and large, so far, we are tracking with respect to allocation. If the oil blending companies don't pick up, etc., those kind of issues, see, what could be potential hiccups or somewhat derailers? Derailers is a strong word. I think raw material availability to some extent, we saw some challenges, but by and large, we coped. Picking up by oil blending companies for various reasons, you know, that could be a potential issue. But other than that, we see that by and large, we've been tracking on allocation and we expect to track on allocation.
Right, sir. And Rupaji, you mentioned about 400 to 500 tons per month to be the dispatches for the NSU. Can you also provide some numerical number to it? What would be the run rate?
See, I don't call it a projection. I will say that give or take depends on how it goes. I think I'm not talking only about products produced from this specific asset. I'm talking about various new value-added products. You know, we are expecting, and don't take this as a projection, is that, you know, something like in the financial year, something like 200 crores coming from new value-added products is something that we are targeting. As I mentioned with a disclaimer, it's not a projection that I'm giving. And hopefully, depending on how some of our collaborative projects work out, there may be a little bit of slowdown happening, there may be escalation happening. As I said, it is a business which is different from say cement or ethanol or petrochemical. This is a business that you have to build with your partners brick by brick based on various products.
Sir, I'm sorry
to interrupt you, sir. Could you please come back in the queue for more questions?
Yes, ma'am. Yes. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Our next question comes from Meet Gara from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for the opportunity. I wanted to ask, what will be the peak revenue potential for your company on current gross block? Hello. Am I audible?
Yes, you're audible, sir.
Yeah.
Actually, if your question is not very clear to us, you are talking about for the which division? This is basically for the chemical, liquor, or
Chemical and liquor separately.
Pardon?
Chemical and liquor separate.
Chemical and liquor separate.
Yeah.
So liquor, I think we are already on 100% capacity. Yes. For liter, yes, we are already on 100% capacity. Yes.
Okay.
And for country liquor in Uttarakhand or country liquor in UP, we are already on 100% capacity utilization. And for chemical, I think that can answer.
Yeah, we have significant headroom in some of our green chemicals like glycols, glycolithers, glycolithic acetate, ethylene oxide, etc. And as I mentioned, based on how some of our new value-added products and specialty chemicals projects develop, we will be adding capacities incrementally to take care. It is very difficult right now for me to give you a peak revenue potential on current assets based for specialty chemicals because it is a function of the product mix. I have already given you indications in terms of what we are targeting and in fact, the fact that over and above this, we will be doing incremental assessment. Investments.
Correct. Got it, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. Our next question comes from Pradeep Rawat from Yogya Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity and good evening to everyone. So my first question is regarding the biofuel. So how much of the biofuel do we internally use and how much of it is sold in the market or to the government?
So, sir, we do not use any biofuel internally. Let me explain these two slightly. It will help you to understand our business. So, we have three potential sources of ethanol. One, imported ethanol, which comes either from US or Brazil. If it comes from US, it is corn-based. If it comes from Brazil, largely it is sugarcane-based. The second source is manufacture of ethanol from molasses. The third source is manufacture of ethanol from grain, and the fourth source is either of these two sources purchased domestically. None of the imported ethanol can be used either in potable spirits or for biofuel. This ethanol is then converted to various different things. It is converted to extra neutral alcohol if it is to be used in beverages, which can find way for our bottling, for example for Bacardi, or our IMFL brand, or a country liquor brand. But in that case, ethanol is converted to EMA, extra neutral alcohol. If this alcohol is to be sold as biofuel, it is converted to whatever 99.9% ethanol, because you can't have moisture when it gets blended with fuel. And that is a different technology. Taking ethanol from 96 to 99.9% is not distillation, it has to be done differently. Because it forms at 96% what is known as an azeotrope, difficult to separate. This, which is dried up to this extent, is supplied to biofuel. So it is not that we consume biofuel. We have different sources of ethanol. All sources cannot go into all different end applications. Some of the ethanol, which is either from molasses or from grain, which we produce, we don't buy and sell biofuel, can be converted into biofuel by drying it up to 99.9%, and therefore that goes into biofuel. And we have a complex set of sums, which we do based on what is the best trade-off for us, and therefore it is difficult to give you an exact number. We have to have time, subsequently we can explain it to you. The reason I'm saying this is, for example, if, like it happened last year, if the imported ethanol became very expensive, it made sense for us to divert significant amounts of our manufactured ethanol for chemical intermediates. But now that imported ethanol has come down, and we have shifted largely, except for certain chemicals which require molasses ethanol, to using imported ethanol for chemicals. So this is a trade-off activity which we keep doing. I don't have one single number which I can tell you as a percentage, but if you do want more details, we'll be happy to explain it to you in detail later on.
Okay, okay. So can you provide a number, like how much liter of ethanol do we use internally?
Yes, we can provide you a number, ballpark.
Yes, sir. So, for chemical, around 50 lakh liters is being consumed for our own purpose, and for 50 lakh liters is for the EU supply to the joint venture.
Total 100 million. And then the portable spirit?
For portable spirit is around 15 lakh liters per month.
And remaining that we manufacture, which is left over, is supplied to biofuels. And as, see, sorry, I may have made a slight miscommunication. The consumption that he is talking about, currently for chemicals, and that's the complexity I explained to you, currently it is coming from imported.
Yeah, okay, so 50 lakh liter is used for chemical and the other 50 lakh is used for?
Sir, can I request you one thing? Mr. Manish will be more than happy to explain this in slightly more detail to you if you can connect with him. Mr. Manish, all the numbers and how it's actually a complex set of planning is honestly really not on my tip right now. Very difficult.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
But we'll be happy to explain. It's something that can be explained.
Yeah, okay, okay. I will connect with him offline. So, thank you. That's all from my side.
Thank you, sir. Due to time constraints, we won't be able to take more questions. Now I hand over the floor to Mr. Rupak for closing comments.
So, thank you for giving us that attention, for coming to our call in a busy day when we have a lot of number of calls to attend, asking us a number of questions, testing our knowledge of our own business itself, I'm sure, I hope I at least gave you reasonable replies to most of your questions, and I'm conscious that some of you needed some more details from my colleagues Anand as well as Manish. We'll be happy to take them on later on. Otherwise, that's all from our side. Thank you. A very good evening to all of you, and have a good evening.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes your conference for today. Thank you for your participation and for using Dur Sabha's conference call service. You may all disconnect your lines now. Thank you and have a pleasant day.